The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, about Kelsey Grammer, What I Know Now, on being Frasier, the joys of fatherhood, and the perils of cancel culture. Catching the acting bug. I was in the 10th grade in the show The Little Foxes playing a 50-year-old guy at age 16 when the thrill first hit me. After my performance, I got a standing ovation. It wasn't just, I love this. You learn to love the kiss of their eyes, and it was a window into my future. Everybody knows his name. After 35 years embodying Frasier Crane, he's as alive to me as life itself. Day to day, year to year, we've walked the same streets together. Although we're very different, Frasier's the fastidious, neurotic Felix Unger to my Oscar Madison. But I adore how he's in it with his whole heart. Waking up at 69. If this stage was a chapter in a novel, I would call it rejuvenation. There are more opportunities for me to be delighted than ever before. My 7 children range from age 40 down to 7. With my oldest daughters especially, I missed occasions and wasn't as present as I should have been. Now we're reconnecting and healing. The new batch is a total do-over. We're like a pack. The 3 youngest still sleep in our room, and around 3 a.m. this morning, James, the 7-year-old, rolled over with a little kick, and I thought, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. Wealth is relative. I'm okay with money, but I did get divorced a few times. I pay those debts because, honestly, even if it was twice as much, I would still be cheap. It would be cheap. I'm alive and happy, right? Listening to loss. In 2025, it will be 50 years since my sister was murdered when she was almost 19. I had stowed away some of that pain, but 2 years ago I got a sort of message from her when I started to write a book about the loss, which bubbled up emotions and a sense of faith I had locked away. This voice came that said, I've always been there. Since then, all the good things I had with my sister are more in focus than the bad. Cancel, cancel culture. Cancel culture is ridiculous. It's about giving a platform for hatred, singling people out to take them down. I think we can all do better toward one another. We focus so much on differences in this country, red state, blue state, conservative, liberal, but I think we should celebrate how much we share. Maybe that could move us toward community again, rather than silos. The world my granddad introduced me to, a world of service, a world of kindness, that still holds value. The urgency of time. I'm not sad about getting older. I feel better now than ever. Honestly, sometimes, though, that line comes to me from the poem To His Coy Mistress. At my back I always hear time's winged chariot hurrying near. There are things I haven't quite done yet. I do face that ticking clock. And this was as told to David Hockman. 3-time Golden Globe winning actor Kelsey Grammer, 69, stars in the reboot of the hit comedy Frasier, streaming on Paramount. Now, let's look at some money saver advice. First, we have a number of little short articles here. Gold hard facts. When people worry about the economy, they often think about gold. Check out these nuggets of truth. Gold is a precious metal, but it's not the most precious metal. Iridium might be worth $5,000 per ounce. Rhodium, $4,350. Gold, only $2,013. Palladium, $953. Platinum, $909. Silver, $23. Olympic gold medals are at least 92.5% silver. Fort Knox isn't the only spot in the U.S. with a high, big stash of gold. There's Texas Bullion Depository in Leander, Texas, has 12, I'm not sure 12 what here. U.S. Mint at West Point in West Point, New York has 54. U.S. Bullion Depository in Fort Knox, Kentucky has 147.3. Oh, this is the location and the quantity in millions of ounces. And finally, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York in New York City has 203.5. The most expensive gold coin ever sold was a 1933 U.S. $20 gold piece, never actually issued for circulation. It was auctioned off in 2021 for a record $18.9 million. Six places where you can pan for gold for free or at low cost are Marshall Gold Discovery State Historic Park in Coloma, California, Libby Creek Recreational Gold Panning Area near Libby, Montana, Cache Creek, C-A-C-H-E, prospecting site near Granite, Colorado, Broken Boot Gold Mine in Deadwood, South Dakota, Alabama Gold Camp in Linville, Alabama, and Reed Gold Mine, Midland, North Carolina. In 2016, a fully functioning 18-karat gold toilet was installed at the Guggenheim Museum in New York City. It was reportedly used by more than 100,000 visitors. The toilet, built of more than $6 million in gold at today's prices, was stolen from an English palace in 2019, and it's still missing. Gold is measured in troy ounces, not your usual ounces. So a 1 ounce gold bar actually weighs 1.1 ounce. A standard bar of gold weighs 27.4 pounds. Now we know. All right, this next article from the magazine, Danger, Investment Scams Ahead, and this is under their Money Saver section. I'm going to do a sidebar article first. Before you invest in anything, one, check credentials. Brokercheck.finra, FINRA.org, advisorinfo.sec.gov, and nfa.futures.org/basicnet show finance pros records and licenses. Most scams involve unregistered entities, people, and products, says Melanie DeVoe of the CFTC. Two, look for transparency. Be wary if you can't independently verify financial statements. Note that one advantage of mutual funds is that you can easily find their price, performance, and holdings from multiple sources. Three, take your time. Don't rush to invest because you're told you'll lose out unless you act soon. If it's a legitimate investment, it's going to be available tomorrow. Number four, get a reality check. Run a proposed investment past someone who's not involved with the venture, maybe just a level-headed friend. That move can melt away the halo of excitement that comes with a sales pitch. And five, know your limitations. Can you afford to lose all or part of your investment? Do you really understand what you're getting into? If an investment opportunity is confusing or vague, it's probably not a great strategy for you. Now for the article itself. Learn the telltale signs of investment fraud from these recent court filings. And this is by Cheryl Winoker Monk. Older Americans have lost an alarming amount of money to investment scams in recent years. In 2023, for example, people 50 and older reported more than $900 million in investment-related fraud to the Federal Trade Commission, well more than the combined reported losses to romance, tech support, and online shopping scams. The median investment loss was at least $9,500. For more on the ongoing war against all types of fraud, see the April AARP Bulletin. Although these scams come in many varieties, they often share one important element, red flags. If the investment strategy, one, you don't quite understand, are you promised risk-free guaranteed returns? Must you act soon or lose your chance? Any yes answer should set off an alarm. To put you on alert, here's a roundup of recent frauds alleged by prosecutors and regulators, along with a guide to some of the reddest flags. 1. Cryptocurrency. From October 2020 to August 2023, a group known as Fundiz, F-U-N-D-S-Z, promised investors no-sweat annual profits of 365% through cryptocurrency trading and other healthy and sustainable sources of income, alleges a complaint filed by the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC. Make money while you sleep and passive income with zero effort on your part, reads one fund's marketing slide included in the complaint. An alleged ringleader touted a proprietary algorithm, but declined to reveal the secret to our sauce. A court-appointed receiver calculated that more than 9,000 investors lost a total of $15.7 million. Red flags, high returns, secret formulas, easy riches. Number 2, foreign exchange. In late 2022, the Securities and Exchange Commission alleged that Houston resident John Fernandez had fraudulently raised more than $4.3 million from about 175 investors, promising guaranteed interest every month from trading in currency markers. Rather than investing in foreign exchange markets, he sent investors computer screenshots of fabricated gains from trades, said the SEC. He paid out some money, but that was mostly a Ponzi scheme, a fraud in which the illusion of a successful operation is created by paying investors fake profits that are simply money paid in by other deceived investors. When that venture failed, Fernandez blamed a tax blowback and asked investors to move their money to a new investment described as a legitimate financial company. This second venture, which promised annual returns of 5 to 100%, failed as well. Red flags, guaranteed returns, sketchy financial statements, insistence of legitimacy, excuses. 3. Agriculture. Since 2021, a company called AgriDime has raised $191 million from more than 2,100 investors in what the SEC says is a Ponzi scheme. The company allegedly agreed to sell investors beef calves for $2,000 apiece and then buy back the same animals at a higher price after a year, guaranteeing a return of at least 15% and allowing participants to become a part of providing fellow Americans with the highest quality farm-fresh beef available. Instead, the SEC says, the company acquired far fewer cattle than it sold to investors, had less than $1.5 million in cash as of last September, and made at least $58 million in Ponzi payments to investors. In its advertising, the company acknowledged, "We know it sounds too good to be true." Red flags. Exotic investment, guaranteed returns, insistence of legitimacy, appeal to patriotism. Next is precious metals. In a settlement announced last October, the CFTC and regulators from 30 states alleged that precious metals dealer Safeguard Metals had deceived more than 450 investors by selling them $66 million in fraudulently priced silver coins. According to the settlement, the company pushed older Americans, most of whom were inexperienced investors, to empty their retirement accounts for silver purchases by preying on their fears and misrepresenting the safety of national retirement accounts. Sales representatives told one investor that the stock market was going to crash and the government would confiscate people's IRAs, for example, and repeatedly called another to say, hurry up and make a decision. Despite telling customers that it typically sold them silver anywhere from 4 to 23% above its own cost, Safeguard's markups actually averaged 71% up until 2021, according to the CFTC. Red flags, time pressure, and appeal to fear. Next, we have commodities trading. Philip Gallus was found by a judge last November to have fraudulently obtained $5.3 million from 65 people for a pool of money to invest in commodities, then to have used that money instead for expenses, including luxury car rentals and purchases at a jeweler, Macy's, and Best Buy. Among Gallus's false claims, the judge found that he had an investment return of 238% in 2020, that he managed $1.7 billion in offshore entities, and had just raised another $3 billion to invest, and that he employed at least five different automated trading models, including algorithmically determined inflection points that are filtered using order book dynamics, market microstructure analysis to profit from price movements in either direction around these areas. When one client asked to withdraw some of his money, Gallus put him off with a series of excuses for why he couldn't, including bank mix-ups that prevented withdrawals and a visit to the emergency room. A pill opened up in my throat by accident and closed my throat for two full minutes. I thought that it was an onion and tried to get it back up. It didn't go well. Red flags, high returns, unverified claims, secret formula, excuses. And finally, the last one is real estate. Wilson Baston, who pleaded guilty to mail fraud and wire fraud in 2008 in a real estate scheme that cost an estimated 185 people more than $22 million, was accused by the SEC last June of launching a similar scheme not long after he was released from prison in 2017. This time around, the SEC says, he persuaded people to invest more than $10 million in several real estate deals, which he didn't identify, by promising to repay their principal with interest of up to 25% within days or weeks. Baston, who allegedly hid his past by using the alias Channon Gordon, touted his ability to flip undervalued properties, but he often used fresh investments to make Ponzi payments to other investors. After Baston failed to repay one investor, he had used that person's money to pay off someone else, he persuaded the first investor not only to roll over the purported principal and interest into a new transaction, but also to pay in an additional $4,000, said the SEC. Baston fended off requests for repayment by citing obstacles such as moving his office, not having his phone, and dealing with multiple bouts of COVID-19, according to the complaint. The red flags on this one: guaranteed high returns, investment secrecy, unverified claims, excuses. Again, this article was by Cheryl Winker-Monk, who is a business reporter who has written for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, CNBC.com, and other news outlets. Now, looking at a section called This is 70 in AARP, the magazine, catching up with Dr. Phil McGraw. We've got issues, how you can stand strong for America's soul and sanity. Dr. Phil, 73, offers his trademark no-nonsense advice for restoring America and always looking ahead. What's the one thing you feel would help our country right now? Learn to listen. You know, this cancel culture we're in, I think it needs to be a council culture. We alienate so many people who could be great allies. Have things shifted for you mentally in your 70s? I'm a pilot. There's this old saying, one thing a pilot can't use is the runway behind them. It makes you say, I'm not going to waste time doing things that I don't really value or focus on things that I don't really care about. How to find a soulmate. This is listed under romance. After 20 years, I, a divorced woman who had launched 3 kids, had done it all in my search for a new life partner. Singles groups, blind dates, the bar scene, all fun, but zilch in terms of long-term relationships. So I started going to Unitarian Universalist services. One visit at the coffee hour afterwards, I was drawn to a short, burly, bald man in shorts. I trusted my instinct, which told me, go, the universe is calling. 1 year after our first date, we were married. Some years after meeting my perfect person, I became a personal life coach, helping others find theirs. These steps have helped. 1. Make peace with the past. Free yourself from resentments, grief, and anger felt in earlier relationships. 2. Make your list. Be specific. If being a vegan, a non-smoker, or loving cats is important, add it to that list. 3. Remember, people generally don't change or get better with time. You don't need a project. 4. Modify your list as you discover more about yourself. Make it detailed. Put the must-haves on top. 5. Once you find the person who meets your criteria, ask yourself if they fulfill the 3 musts. A. They must make you laugh. B. They must not annoy you easily. And C. They must not drain you emotionally. And 6. Finally, check off 2 critical questions. Would this person be my friend whether we're dating or not? And do I like myself when we're together? That's it. Happy hunting. Now we have an item on style. Stay cool and look cool. We asked Emiko Straw, a stylist at the online shopping service Stitch Fit, to recommend a fresh look in summer shorts for people 70 plus. The most flattering. For men, try a mid-rise waist and a straight leg that hits just above the knee. For women, Bermuda shorts provide coverage and length. Lengthen the leg. A high-rise waist creates a flattering profile. Best colors. For men, neutrals like navy, khaki, or gray make it easy to mix and match with shirts and shoes. For women, solid shades of white, beige, black, and a new green hue called matcha are popular choices. Something different. Men can consider cargo shorts. Yes, they're back. Straw likes their versatility and practicality. For women, capri pants that hit below the knee are returning, with either a skinny or a wide leg look. True to you, people 70 plus can absolutely embrace trends and a touch of adventure when it comes to shorts, says Straw. But it's key to do so in a way that feels comfortable to them and authentic to their style. And finally, the bottom line, you should avoid short shorts, overly baggy shorts, or excessively tight shorts. Well, in the little bit of time we have left, I have some quotes from AARP, the Bulletin. people have realized that women just get sexier as they get older. They get more learned and more rich with character. That from Jennifer Lopez, who's 54. One of my secrets, I remain the biggest kid in the room, says Snoop Dogg, 52. I quit after every tour. Then 2 days later, I'm ready to go back, says Willie Nelson, 90. I'm going to keep working. I don't want to get up and watch Netflix. Recently retired football coach Nick Saban, 72. My flip phone, my mom jeans, she thought it was hilarious. That was from actor Jason Priestley, 54, about his daughter watching Beverly Hills 90210. I've lost interest in the days of corsets and high heels. Jodie Foster, 61, on getting to play characters in comfortable outfits. When you get married, it's the heaviest contract you will ever sign, says Ozzy Osbourne, 75, on life with his wife Sharon. I'm going to die not knowing anything else but baseball because I love it so much. Former All-American Girls Professional Baseball League player Maybelle Blair, 97. What's all this stuff about ageism in Hollywood? How did I get left out of it? Actor Ellen Burstyn, 91, on her thriving career. Make good trouble. Wherever and whenever you can, says singer and activist Joan Baez, 83. And finally, people say, well, such and such course is easy. I want to see the easy golf course. I've never played that one, says Smokey Robinson, 84, on his love of golf. Finally, a couple of quick little jokes. I can't open this attachment. It says the file is corrupt. Try bribing it. My wife knows I've been cheating. She found my hidden letters. You both take Scrabble way too seriously. Do you gossip? No, never. But do you know who does? You look weird to me with those thick glasses. Well, you look weird to me without them. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.